If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the divine love and light of the Most Radiant One. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and we're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. This evening, our seminar topic is how to see and enter the real world. So let's take a deep breath and call yourself forward into your integrated spiritual awareness, the highest level you can access, and ask for the clearance of anything that no longer serves you in your life and in your spiritual growth. To now ask to have true vision restored. Whatever needs to be released of your past, of grievance, of pain, of things that you have allowed to block your present joy. And ask for what you would truly, truly like to experience now in your life. We are under a dispensation of grace, which means that when you ask, knowing that you are worthy, because that's how grace works, you don't have to earn it, it's a free gift. So it's important to ask for everything that you really would like to have. It's not so much a matter of praying for things as it is realizing that they've already been given to you through grace. And so asking to have revealed the things that you may be believing or holding on to, That is actually a form of judgment against yourself. And since it's done unto you as you believe, even the Divine Spirit will not violate your judgment. Even though it's illusory, even though it's not true, your self-judgment can actually block your awareness of everything that God would have you have, and grace would restore if you but ask. So ask right now if you'd like. And above all else, ask to see. Ask to see that which is real and true and eternal. That is the real world that you can enter and live in right now. In the same space and place in which we're residing right now, there is another world. This is God's true creation that we share eternally as forever one with God. And we can see this world if we're willing to release the way that we thought things were and allow ourselves to be taught from within how to look anew upon all things, how to see all people and all events through the eyes of loving innocence. So there's a way of looking at things that will literally lift the veil and enable you to truly see. And it begins with forgiveness. But it's a different kind of forgiveness than you're used to. You're to forgive yourself and others for what in highest truth they never did. Why is that? Because none of this ego-projected nightmare in the lower dimensions is real and never happened. Oh, I know it's experiential because we have bought into the mindset of separation and conflict and differentiation. But there's another way that the Divine Spirit would reveal to us if we're willing. And that willingness means asking. And the only forgiveness that we really need is to forgive ourselves for forgetting that we are divine. That God alone is all that is. So let's try that, if you will. I forgive myself for forgetting that I am divine. I forgive myself for forgetting that God is all there is. God is but love, and so am I. So when you get up each morning, take a few moments to attune to that divine presence within and ask specifically for the kind of day that you'd like to have, and state it in the positive. I would like to experience a day of loving appreciation in which the goodness and the beauty of all things stands revealed to me. I would like a day of grace and ease in which things flow and are divinely ordered according to my highest rate and highest good. I would like a day in which I notice the good and the divine in myself and in everyone I encounter. I would like a day in which everyone that I encounter is lifted and blessed in some way. I would like a day in which I experience the love and peace of God. Now, this is exactly the kind of day that you will have if you make all your decisions with love or with Christ. So to learn the lesson of love, and really that's the only lesson to be learned here, we must teach only love. And we teach by everything we say, think, and do. And what we say, think, and do, we teach. And what we teach, we learn. So be careful what you're teaching yourself and others. So your present forgiveness is all that is required to restore the real world to your awareness. To do that, you need to relinquish holding on to the past. The purpose of time is to remember that you are divine, not to reorder and reconstruct your past pain. That's the wrong use of time. So when you remember something from the past, you are actually reconstructing it in the present moment. And if it's a painful thing, it will block your awareness of present joy. So the past is over. The only thing you can truly say about the past is that it's over. It's not now. And it can no longer touch you once your present peace and happiness is all you choose to see. So what is the real world? It's a world that is seen in truth through the eyes of love. very interesting. You know, when you live in a different part of the world, say, for example, like I have over in Sai Baba's ashram in India, which is called Prashanti Nilayam, the abode of peace. And it's such a world within itself that you literally forget that there's any other world outside. You're filled with love and devotion. Your sight, all of your five senses are being nourished by divine sounds and sights and scents and tastes. Everything is devoted to and designed to draw you nearer to God. You don't even imagine that there's any war going on anywhere. There's no political debates. There's no horrible news. We here in the West and in the United States, we get the most awful news. Why is that? It's because we have a worldview that the ego has given us, and we've bought into it. And that world is full of separation and suffering and pain. And that's not the world we want to see. Most of us don't know that there's another way to see the world. So there is. And although there are many, 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 many different forms in which you can learn this one lesson, that love is all there is and you are that, the curriculum is one and the same. And one of those ways that you can learn it is by studying A Course in Miracles that has 365 ways that the Holy Spirit will use to go into your life thoroughly and teach you how to see all things through the eyes of love and forgiveness. So that's a very simple and very direct path that the Master Jesus gave, because we weren't getting his message. So he brought forward a very modern approach that combines the non-dualistic Advaita of the Vedantic Vedic way with Western Christianity, and uses Western Christian terms kind of like a thorn to remove the thorn, because very many of us that call ourselves spiritual have been thoroughly turned off by people who read a book and used it to control and manipulate, but didn't have love in their hearts. And that has soured many of us. So Jesus brought forward another way that is more of a psychological approach that has nothing to do with religion, but has everything to do with a relationship with the beloved. And that's what we really want. We want a relationship with love that transforms how we see things and how we experience things. So this entire world of dog-eat-dog wars, conflicts, and polarized opinions, and all of that, is the ego mind's projection based upon the premise that we are separate from one another and separate from God. And that is what has given rise to false evidence appearing real, or the fear-based version of the world. And yet beyond that, untouched by that, is the real world that God created out of love for our delight, that has never been affected by our falling asleep as Adam did, and never awakening until now, when love would call us awake. So everything that we have suffered will dissolve in love at some point, and we will not remember it. And we will awaken and find that we have never left the real world that we have shared forever and will share forever with love or God. So only love can look upon and see this world of love. When we look through the ego's judgments and fear and condemnation, We see a world that reflects what we have chosen to be real. You might think, well, why have we chosen that to be real? Well, largely through ignorance. You know, it's called Maya. It's called samsara. It's ignorance of the reality that causes us to make such erroneous errors. So whatever we believe to be so, so it shall appear to us. Quantum physics is now proving what spiritual scientists and sages have long known, that the observer's consciousness rearranges the atoms to match that point of view. So your consciousness is what determines what you see and experience. It's pretty fun when you realize the science of true vision. It's kind of makes it exciting because you can actually play with this and demonstrate it to yourself. So what this means is our really staying consciously connected spiritually to the divine spirit, which breathes you, beats your heart, and speaks to you as that quiet voice and prompting of conscience. It reveals truth to you through your intuitive awareness. And it is the only true inner master that resides in you as your very soul, as your very divine spirit, as your heart. And we learn that whenever we are not wholly joyous and at peace, it's because we have chosen to look from the ego's perspective of judgment and fear, rather than the divine love. So we will feel bad instantly whenever we've acted unloving to one of God's creations. Instant feedback. And the whiter the cloth, the more the tiniest speck is noticeable. So the closer that one draws to the divine presence, the more divine and godlike our nature becomes. And to draw near to God, we must become pure love. Only love draws near to the highest divine manifestation of God. So God is love, not an old man in the sky. God is the formless spirit of love. So ultimately, everything but that divine love will be released and fall away, to dissolve back into the nothingness from which it's come. What is it? What is it that blocks our releasing that grievance? It is, again, a reluctance to let go and yield ourselves to something that we really have very little to no validation of in the outer world in which we think and dream we are living. It's a solitary path in the sense that it's you and God. It's always been you and God. There's never been any otherness. But we have believed there were others, and so it has appeared to us. So we are allowing sanity to be restored to our mind. And we are learning to look for and give attention to only that which is loving, positive, uplifting, and what we want more of in our life. Yeah, what do you want more of in your life? If it's true, and we know it is, that the very atoms rearrange themselves to accommodate your picture of reality, and you're putting out vibes of unhappiness and pain and grievance and attack and criticism and judgment and gossip and slander and hatred, guess what the atoms are being rearranged to look at, look like? Like hell. That's hell. That's a life where you've truly edged God out, which is another definition for the ego. And you're allowed to do that because you've been given free will. Not in any real sense in terms of being really able to separate yourself from God, but you separate yourself from the awareness of love's presence. And that is hell. So, the whole secret of living in higher consciousness is to practice looking only for the good, the divine, the praiseworthy, and all people and things, and leave everything else in God's hands. It's kind of like Thumper in Bambi, you saw the remake of that, where he says if you can't say something nice about somebody, don't say anything at all. Thus spoke the little rabbit, Thumper. And that's about the best directive you could ever get out of Walt Disney's films. So our grievances are hiding the light of the world that we are. Our grievances are what is keeping this world of love and peace hidden from our awareness. All judgment blocks the light. All grievance hides the light of the world that you are. All judgment, grievance, negativity comes from the false self, the ego, that part of the mind that edges God out because it would rather be right than happy. So happiness and laughter ruin the ego. They dismantle it and leave it powerless. You know, no karma can stick when you move your anger to laughter and laugh at yourself. Not derisive laughter, but laughing at the foolishness with which we take things so seriously and tenaciously hold on to stupid things that do nothing for us but blind us to reality. So, yeah, happiness and laughter ruin the ego and dismantle it and leave it powerless. So, to fix and heal the world, which many of you who are on Earth assignment feel that you're here to do, only requires your changing your mind about what you would have appear in this world. That's your real work. It's done at a spiritual, mental, and emotional level of intention, for you hold the focus of a world at peace, a world in which the warring instinct, the killing and the hatred atrophies and begins to shrink and shrivel and die out and is no longer coming forward where people want to do that. It is first to atrophy in yourself. That part has to die so that that true Christ can be resurrected within you. So the ego has got to be crucified. It's got to cease to live in order for this greater part of you to take over. So, love or hatred, peace or conflict, Christ or ego, you alone decide. And you alone decide who you'll keep company with and walk with and listen to and learn from. Ego or Christ? Insanity or truth? What's it going to be? So whoever you choose will reveal his world to you, and that is the world in which you will live. And what will become very real to you. So, heaven or hell? Is that even a choice? Yes, it is. Because look how many people are actually choosing to live in hell, misery, bondage, pain, of their own free will. Gosh, what to do? God honors your free will, even if it's your negative self, your ego. You know, something that I observed many years ago, that depending upon what you believe to be so, witnesses will appear in your life that will seem to confirm and affirm that that is the way it is. I've played around with lots of different belief systems to test out this theory, and I have found it true in every sense. The minute you buy into a belief system, your dreams will likewise take on the configuration of that belief system. Those particular masters or teachers will start to appear, and it will be colored to reflect your beliefs, whether negative or positive. The same thing if you practice some form of, or you're trying to find out what's going to, well, divination, tarot cards or, you know, that stuff. Or even if you go to a psychic, all of those forms of divination will simply reflect back and mirror to you your belief and your state of energy. None of them are seeing anything but what you are holding in your consciousness. That's why you're told in the scriptures not to do that, because you're just fortifying illusion. Now, if you, for example, believe there are negative forces out there to get you, lo and behold, they will appear in your dreams. They'll show up in negative people and events entering your life, and you will have it as you have chosen it to be. I once knew a very famous exorcist, and sure enough, everywhere he went, he would see people possessed by devils. And the people who came to see him to be exorcised from these devils totally believed that they had devils. And by joining with the exorcist in that belief, sure enough, devilish things began to manifest. And it was interesting because actually the exorcist began to look a little bit like the classical pictures of the devil himself. You know, you become like that which you focus on and pay the most attention to. But where did these beliefs really come from? They came from a choice of what you would have real, a choice of belief. Somewhere, that person bought into the concept of good and evil. Now, isn't that what caused the fall in the Garden of Eden, partaking of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil, i.e. duality? Interesting, huh? But whole religions, whole people in bondage to this devilish belief system, hold them in bondage and keep them afraid from exploring truth and experiencing it directly for themselves. Oh no, you have to only get your truth in this one book. Oh no, you have to do this, otherwise, well, you know it. So, again, it is done unto you as you believe, and you shall decree a thing, and it shall be established unto you. And where two or more agree as to touching anything, that thing shall be established. Those are all statements that Jesus gave us in the Bible. There's lots of truth there, too. But it depends on how you understand it for yourself. So, we often liken those teachings to positive things that we pray for and agree for in prayer. But that principle works both ways. It's a principle, which means a divine law, a universal law. So if we want to be free and living in a world of beauty and loving kindness, we will need to believe in that and let go of beliefs that don't match that higher vision. This is quite a exercising of discernment for each one of us. We'll need to watch what we come into agreement with so that we lend agreement only to what we would want to have in our life. So as a suggestion, I would say it's important to slow down and get centered and spiritually attuned before you go out into the world and interact with others. If you do that, you'll stand a better chance of staying conscious and selectively choosing what you will lend assent to. For example, people who are living from the ego's version of the world are very critical and judgmental. They see a world of conflict, difference, separation, lack, injustice, constant attacks on their well-being. And therefore, their conversations reveal this worldview by being critical and adversarial in their position and opinions. So if you fall in with their unconscious banter and agree with what they're saying, then you are fortifying that in your own life and also fueling it and perpetrating its existence in the world. You know, we really need to be aware that we are co-creators with God. We are creative spirits. We can never not create. And we will either create like God or we'll create like the ego in illusion. You'll either create with light or you'll perpetrate, project darkness. So what you slander and judge in another, the karmic law will hold against you. And you will have to face and experience that slander and that judgment yourself. I think the biggest sign of spiritual maturity is to take responsibility for our own expression. To learn to monitor what we say, what thoughts we allow to remain in our minds, and the things to which we lend our energy of attention. I used to always say, what you look at looks back at you. What you pay attention to pays attention to you. You know, they have a way of saying, if you speak of the devil, he appears. Yeah. But likewise, if you say the name of God, God appears. That's one of the bases for mantra in India, is that the name of God is more powerful than the form because the name has the power to evoke and cause the appearance of the form wherever that name is spoken or sung in devotion. That's why perhaps in the Bible it says to not take the name of the Lord in vain. You call forward the divine presence when you say the name. That's why they do japa, which is the repetition of the names of the Lord, Namasmarana. That's the remembrance and the repetition of the divine name, so that you are in the constant presence of God, so that the vibration of that holy name begins to permeate the whole of your consciousness, your nervous system, your vibrations, your cellular memory, and it transmutes all the darkness in you. It again ruins the day for the ego, because the ego hates the name of God. The ego wants you to keep thinking and worrying and mulling things over in your mind that people did that hurt your feelings and offended you and made you mad. That's what the ego wants you to do with your mind. But what all of the enlightened masters tell you to do is to replace your thinking and worrying with the repetition of the names of God. To get a japa mala of the 108 beads, which is a rosary, and begin to you know, like you see the Indian yogis do, twist it in your hand, turn it in your fingers as you repeat the name of God on it. Don't think. Repeat the name of the Lord. That is the yoga which is the most effective in this age of Kali Yuga. And it transmutes and, again, dissolves that ego mind that gives you so much trouble. So what to do? So here is how you can make that shift in your worldview from the ego's world of war, pain, and conflict to the real world that we share forever in highest truth with God. And here's how. Notice the very minute you are not happy. Notice even the slightest twinge of unhappiness, guilt, shame, fear, regret, any negative feeling. Stop and say, I must have chosen an error because this is not what I want to feel. Divine Spirit, please correct my mind here. To host only love. Again, ask for the correction because you realize that's not what you want. Now, the correction comes through grace. You don't have to do anything but fess up and turn it over and ask. That's it. That's all you have to do. Now, that simple conscious choice corrects your mind through grace. It's corrected by the Divine Spirit within you. Simple. Your mind is corrected and restored to the truth of love, which only your grievance serves to hide. So the real world of love, joy, peace, oneness with God doesn't go anywhere. What happens when you attack yourself or another is that it is rendered invisible by your negativity. Yeah, you just block your vision, your awareness of it. So get it clearly. If you would be happy and live in a world of love and peace now, that there's nothing wrong with the world. There is nothing that you have to judge, remedy, save, rectify at all in this world. Jesus already did that and completed our transfer from the karmic law to grace. It's a gift. You just receive it. So you can only choose which world you wish to have real and to live in. That's it. Only thing is your choice. And remember, every time, every thought, word, and deed is a choice. It's a choice. So that is the ascension. That is the rapture. That is the kingdom of God being restored on earth. So the entire shift is one of conscious choice and in consciousness. And we choose to walk with God and love and bless all things and see through the eyes of love. Things as they truly are, when judgment is removed. Now we are home free. And yes, the price of that freedom is constant vigilance. And again, we choose every time we open our mouth, every thought we allow to dwell in our mind and be mulled over. Learn to let the thought stream pass through you without identifying. It's just a stream of consciousness that everybody contributes to. Those are not your thoughts. Those are not your feelings. So don't buy into those levels and attach yourself to them. Let them pass through you. Become transparent to the things of this world. And build your castle only within the citadel of the beloved. So every impulse we have to monitor to see if it be of the Lord, of the Divine Spirit, or of ego. What's motivating your action? What is it for? What are you doing? What's your intention? So we bring everything into alignment with love. Love is the empire of our peace. We prioritize love. And when we do, love prioritizes us. It's so interesting. To the person who lives in love and innocence, the entire universe rearranges itself to minister to whatever it is that you need. You can't even have a need arise in your mind before it's already been delivered. sometimes before you realize there was anything lacking or that you had need of. It's a magical life. And interestingly enough, the things of this world and its loud din begins to fade away. You develop higher extenuations of your five senses, of your six senses, if you will, that are more able to function in those higher dimensional levels. And you begin to outgrow the limited use of those five or six senses that kept the ego's view, worldview, intact, fortified it. You cease being a servitor of darkness in any way, shape, or form, and you become a genuine bearer of light. And as you do that, the world begins to fade away. You just don't notice it much. Its sights begin to smear together like a watercolor, and they begin to fade out. I find some days I can barely see as I move across the room because there's so much light in my head that everything is like a mist. And I have to be very conscious to ground myself. So there does become, I think, a point where you live less and less in the outer world, and you begin to live in a totally different state of consciousness. I know we're part of that externalization of that higher way today into the world, so I'm not suggesting we run off to India or to the Himalayas, but I can sure see why people in that state do that. It's very hard to be here when you can't relate at all to the way that most people view the world. So eventually we will notice only what is true, loving, pure, and innocent, whatever is noble, whatever is praiseworthy and of good report, and nothing else will show up to a God-realized consciousness. God-infused consciousness, and begin to see like God sees. Can you see how the scriptures were distorted to reflect the ego's point of view? When they speak of a vengeful God that is punitive and do it my way or I will burn you in hell kind of mentality, you can see that this is either a tribal manifestation of God that was an extraterrestrial, one of the Elohim extraterrestrials, or the whole scriptures were in large point written down and interpreted by people who didn't really know the real God, the God that is the Sukhmad, the it of itself, that which is pure love in the highest positive divine realm. So there are different manifestations of the divine. There are different levels of consciousness. There are different exemplars that came across the pages of history that portrayed a portion or a peak into eternity. Some of them were on what we call the traveler lineage, which is the lineage that comes through the Christ, the office of the Christ in the order of Melchizedek. And they are the true way showers. Then you have the teachers that come along the line of what is called the call power, or the negative gods of the psychic and material realms. And those are the ones that are the law teachers, the ones that tell you this is the way that you have to do it, or else. And they lay down the law. So it's interesting. You have the choice of the ego's law, which is indeed vengeance and judgmental, or you have the grace and love. And it takes a lot of discernment, a lot of spiritual contemplation of the scriptures to allow the Holy Spirit to reveal to you what they mean to you, because they'll open up at the level of light that you have appropriated. And they're a closed door to someone that's not at that level. So that's why 10, 20 different people will see 10, 20 different meanings in a single scripture. But why bother with outer scripture when the codes of living light and living love and living sound are inscribed in your very DNA? There's even a cross that is in your DNA. Everything that's divine is replicated in your human biophysical structure. You are literally made in the image and likeness of God, the highest God, the divine God, the God of the positive realms of that are beyond death. There's no death in those realms. Death is one of the great illusions that came in under the ego's nightmare. So when you are seeing from the upper vision of spiritual awareness, you will initially see things clearly for what they are. Initially, it's like, wow, all of a sudden you can really see where people are coming from, which is a little uncomfortable at first because you see the good news and the bad news. But you learn to observe people, and whatever they're doing, whether they're speaking from the againstness of the ego mind or whatever, without judging them or making them wrong. You don't condone evil, but you recognize that fighting ego, fighting the ego and fighting evil is like fighting for peace. There's only a temporary pause between another battle. You don't really solve anything by going into polarity. The point of transcendency is always the apex, the point of the pyramid. It's not the base and the polarized position in the base. You always have to transcend to a level that triangulates and moves you beyond that level to get free. So you can be aware and observe whatever's going on around you without jumping into the fray, without identifying and losing conscious awareness and perspective yourself. And a wonderful thing is just not to offer opinion. You know, opinions are like noses. Everybody's got one. So don't allow people's opinions to manipulate you. And pay attention to your own nose. That's the only one you're going to be able to follow. So you can be aware that you do not choose to agree with that particular point of view or that expression without going into angst and conflict and anger and arguing your position or making another wrong. You can allow other people to learn at their own pace without judging them. And you're wise in selecting more aware and self-accountable friends to spend time with. You know, if you live long enough in this world, you'll encounter just about every kind of belief system, opinion, perspective, and point of view. So you have to decide what you are about, what's real for you, what's true for you. And your only duty is to determine what you accept to be the truth, and to live true to your own value system and moral convictions. They're going to keep expanding, so you have to be willing to let go and move to that which is next, that which is more embracive, more universal, higher. But it takes a very experienced and matured soul to be able to see everything and hear everything and still remain true to one's highest conviction. You know, to hear everything and say nothing, to see everything and do nothing, to serve everyone and be nothing. That's really the position of a divine consciousness. So everyone is right in the sense that given where they are and their understanding, their conditioning, their life lessons, they are where they are and need to be right now. And that goes for everyone. And you people who have children, the same thing. They are souls. You have this opportunity to raise them, but you've had many, many, many children in many lifetimes. You've had many mothers, many fathers, many spouses. And it's all about souls learning the only lesson here that is to be learned. And that is, we are divine. And we are love. And we're forever one with God. So those of you who listen each week to these seminars are serious about living a more conscious and aware life. That is why these are the things that we look into in these seminars. I don't spend much time looking at the karma dramas that are rolling about on the surface of the planet and the ego's nightmare. I mean, what's the point? It's all going to vanish in love at some point. And we can make it vanish in our own consciousness when we prioritize love more than engagement in the karma drama. So you also want to experience the love, joy, and peace that can only be experienced by a person living from conscious spiritual awareness. And yes, life is a field of malleable energy that takes the shape of our thoughts, our words, our beliefs. Begin to think of life like that. Life is a field of malleable energy that is responsive to what we would have real. It instantly begins to take shape when you have settled on a point of view. It begins to take that form. So with practice, you can learn to give shape and form and life only to what Christ would reveal to you. And Jesus came primarily to show us how to enter the real world, the kingdom of heaven, which he said is within. And that within means our state of consciousness. And that shift of consciousness produces a vibration that manifests and matches our inner model outwardly. So how was your day today? How did you start your day? Did you start your day with love? Did you spend the day with love? And are you ending the day with love? If so, you are living the way of love. And that is the way to God. Your blessing in all that is your greatest gift to this planet. When you live as a blessing, then you sleep a deep, untroubled sleep with only pleasant dreams, if any. And you have a peaceful mind, and your conscience is serene and quiet. Is that the kind of mind that you have? Is that the kind of sleep that you have? So think about what you did out of loving kindness today. What did you do that you felt was divinely motivated? Those are like stars in your crown. Whose life did you bless today? Who did you encourage? Who did you inspire and assist and instill faith into? Oh, you are on your mission of loving service to planet Earth. And you're obviously a consecrated initiate of the infinite way of divine loving. You just revealed that you're an anointed one, a Christ who has stepped out of the closet and into the kingdom of heaven on earth. You are a walking ambassador of the kingdom of divine love. You are beginning to see a whole new world arise before your loving and innocent eyes. You are a way-shower, a spiritual traveler, You're one that knows the ways of men and lives the ways of God. You're a disciple, one who has chosen to come under the discipline of the higher nature. You have nothing to worry about, beloved, if you start the day with love, if you fill the day with love, if you spend the day with love, if you end the day with love. That is the way of the Christ. That is the way to God. That is the way to see and to enter the new world. So you don't have to fix an old world. You just need to allow it to fall away as the new world is revealed to your innocent gaze. It is so lovely that you'll notice the beauty and the divinity. Mostly the beauty. You'll see beauty everywhere. Everything will look like it's been Windexed, washed really clear. The colors are brighter. And the things that draw your attention will be loving and gentle and sweet. Guard it, beloved, for it is the most precious thing that you can have, is an innocent and loving heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. But where do you see God? In the mirror, and in the faces, and in the beauty and goodness all around you. Keep your eye single on that. Keep your eye single, that your whole body can be filled with light. And prioritize just being the loving. Nothing else needs to be done. So let's go out chanting Anahi, which is the divine chant of loving unity and oneness. And Hu is an ancient, ancient word for God. Deep breath. Baruch Hashem Adonai. Blessed is the name of the Lord, Adonai.